Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Bissell.
Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Bissell.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Bissell.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, mock draft time, our 15th annual right here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Jaguars Radio, Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli, John Osher.
I say we take Boselli at number two.
At number two?
Oh, we don't have the second pick.
How about number seven? How about me? I could use the money.
Could you? What what did you get for your signing? But you were 14?
$780,000, 14th pick maybe, overall in the draft.
Maybe you and I, they could take a combination at seven, both of us. And
we'll split it.
Split plays.
What did you get for your signing bonus, Tony?
$6 million.
Did you go out and buy that orange suit with it?
Yep.
All right, good.
Oh, the orange suit comes up.
Like, yep, yeah. I did. What are you driving those?
I'm not driving anything as nice as you, I promise that.
I would reference the Brumos commercial, but I can't find it. I tried to find it.
Hey, listen. Can I talk about Brumos? Am I allowed to?
Are they a sponsor?
Brumos, Mercedes-Benz, and Lexus and Porsche takes very good care of me. Charlie Tom is a dear friend, does a great job for our foundation, great job. I drive a Mercedes, great place to go, and they asked me to wear a orange tuxedo.
And they can send Loggy now a car for a week for getting you a free commercial for them.
You tell them I'll wear a pink suit.
That's what I tried to tell. Oh, so I tried to tell Loggy. I said, listen, it's a beautiful Mercedes. And they said, wear an orange tuxedo. I said, no problem.
Is the Mercedes orange too?
No.
Oh.
No.
All right. So now it's time for the mock draft.
Quite the clown suit. I just had to throw that
out. You like the top hat?
I did. What I even like more is the dark circles. Tell the folks that when they're going to do a commercial, a little makeup.
They did have makeup. That didn't look very good.
Really?
Yeah, it was makeup.
God, you're really terrible.
It's a nice car.
Thank you. It's a very nice car, though. The last thing on the commercial, my kids loved the orange tuxedo.
I'm glad they did.
Where'd it come from?
Custom made.
And you got to keep it, obviously.
It's in the closet.
Will you ever wear it again?
Absolutely. It's a great Halloween costume.
So. Got to wear it in here one Wednesday night.
I'll wear it one Wednesday night.
What kind of a fine would Coughlin have given you for wearing that on the plane?
As much as he could.
I don't know now, because if he had fined Tony, he would have had to fine Keenan McCardell every week.
Here's the thing. It is a great Dumb and Dumber tuxedo.
That's exactly what it looks like. I didn't even think about it. You just said
it's
that.
It's a Dumb and Dumber tuxedo. Yeah.
All right. You know, we come into this show every year worried about time. Every year. Are we going to get through it? And to be honest with you, Joe and I talked this morning, and we decided to change it up this year for the first time. Because really, who cares what the Lions are going to do at 23 or the Broncos are going to do at 25 or the Ravens are going to do at 29. So we're going to go 1 through 15, so Indy through Philadelphia, and we'll straighten it out. You know, we'll give you straight what we think, and then we'll give you a second version of that where trades might come in.
Yeah, we'll play with it a little bit. Have some fun with it.
It's a different mock draft than we've ever really done here. So we won't even – no drama with picks 1 and 2. You know it's Luck and you know it's Griffin. Then pick 3, the Minnesota Vikings come up, and this is where – a flashpoint begins, though most people think that Matt Khalil is penciled in there. That's not really how we saw it.
Yeah, and evidently there are reports that he's not penciled in there, and it's going to be Morris Claiborne or Justin Blackmon. And you know, our pick to give it away is going to be Claiborne. I'm just not sure Blackmon goes that high.
You know, and I think what it comes down to, I think everyone agrees that Matt Khalil is the best offensive tackle in the draft.
Correct.
I think the question is he more than just a good left tackle? Is he a great one? Is he a difference maker on your ball club? And I think that those
a lot of people say no.
And a lot of people are saying no. And I think the Minnesota Vikings are basically, if you listen and kind of read the tea leaves, are saying he's a very good player, the best left tackle, best offensive lineman in this draft by far. But we don't know if he's a difference maker for our team.
And well, that's evidenced by the fact that he will probably, if he doesn't go to the Vikings, he's going to slide. If he was elite left tackle, somebody would take him.
Left tackles don't slide.
Right.
A perfect example is Jonathan Ogden in 1996. The Baltimore Ravens did not need a left tackle.
No,
they had Tony Jones, who was a
great player,
Pro Bowler, played in the Pro Bowl with him, outstanding left tackle. He was not taken number one. He was not taken number two because we picked Kevin Hardy. And the Baltimore Ravens said he might be the best player in the entire draft.
Which you could say that he was.
He was.
And then he went
on. Well, I don't know if he was the best player in the draft.
Or Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis might, yeah, yeah. He might argue with him.
Same draft, same team, the 25th pick that year.
Maybe the best two.
That's why all the, you know, everybody's talking trade down, and it starts as soon as you hit, you know, once you get past the two quarterbacks, you know, all the reports are is that everybody wants to trade down.
The Vikings are a team with a lot of holes. I mean, they only won two bowl games last year, okay? So when you look at them, they have a hole at receiver. They have a hole at left tackle. They have a hole at cornerback.
I believe they might have been the worst pass defense in the NFL. Where
they're right there at the bottom.
They're in the bottom 10%.
From a value perspective, does a corner make more sense than a wide receiver for them?
I think so, because I think Claiborne's a better player.
I mean, I think it depends on the grade, but I think also what comes into play also is that, you know, they've got a young quarterback who they want to get weapons. You know, so that's the same kind of deal what we saw here with Byron Leftwich. You know, you have Byron Leftwich, then the next year you got Reggie Williams, the next year you got Matt Jones.
Those
you know,
it's all about. Well.
It's all about, you know, so if the, you know, conventional wisdom would say, you know, the team wants to get a weapon, is it forcing it?
Right. Well, and the reason that we gave them Claiborne instead of Blackmon here is because of the wealth of receivers available later in the first round and early in the second.
And he's a better player.
Well, and that's what
a bunch of, well, yeah, absolutely.
There's a significantly lower, you know, bust potential for Claiborne than Blackmon.
Gene Smith had said that the draft is deep at two positions at his, you know, draft press conference last week or week before last, when it was. And he said that defensive line, in particular defensive tackle, and wide receiver had depth. So the Vikings may choose to go corner.
All right, so here's one.
That's what we got.
You probably, didn't think about. You probably thought Khalil was there. If you follow mock drafts, we give him Morris Claiborne. Here's an easy one. Cleveland in the NFC North, Trent Richardson, the running back. It's easy in the sense that he, on many people's boards, is as high a rated player as you'll find. There's a little bit of debate, though, John, because he's a running back, and the New York Giants won the Super Bowl with the worst rushing offense in football.
Yeah, if I'm there, I don't take him, but everything you hear is that the Browns will. So it really comes down to philosophy. I'm a believer that, you know, your offensive line generally makes your running back, but he's also special. So
yeah,
special guys go in the top 10.
He is special. He's a great player. Two things I would not take him either at that point, even though that's who we have them taking, is one, running backs are devalued with the way the rules of football are in place today for defenses. Number two, that's a pretty good offensive line. I mean, they're above average in Cleveland. Good enough where Peyton Hillis, who I don't think is a special player, he's a good player, rushed for, 1,300 yards or
right,
whatever it was.
Right.
And you made the point a couple weeks ago, Tony, that running back's really the only position where you're one hit away from being completely devalued. Most other positions, even if you have an ACL, you can come back and be a player. That's a position where it's basically over.
A perfect example is that in 1995, the Bengals take Kajana Carter, first pick, outstanding college player.
You bet.
Great player, blows his knee out in training camp, and is never the same.
Never really became a player. All right, so we'll finish out the top five now, and this is the interesting part. Because Claiborne and Richardson are the two guys that most people have targeted for Tampa, they're gone. Khalil's on the board, but they don't necessarily need
him.
They
got
a
good left tackle, Donald Penns.
So here's a guy who's rising up the board. This is about as high as you could possibly ask for him. But Luke Kuechly, the inside linebacker from Boston College that most people think is as good a football player as you'll find in the draft.
Got speed, you know, every down linebacker, exactly. And those are hard to find.
And
he's
they
really
were
good.
Atrocious at linebacker last year. I did a couple bucks. I mean, they were.
Well, take your pick where they were atrocious.
No, but they
at.
Were. I mean, Jeff, like, you watch the tape.
I watched the tape. They're bad in a lot of places.
I know, but at linebacker, I mean, literally, guys catching guards and just going backwards. So sure. I don't know if he's going to go that high. I wouldn't be surprised Tampa would take a Blackmon. They need receiver help as well, and they need weapons for their quarterback.
Freeman.
And I could see them taking Blackmon, but
we give him Kuechly here.
We go Kuechly.
All right, so there's one through five. Luck, Griffin, Claiborne to Minnesota, Richardson to Cleveland, and Kuechly to Tampa Bay. We'll take this break and roll along here. You can join Tony tomorrow night, by the way, at the 18th Annual Bud Light Draft Day Party presented by PRI Productions. It's at the Market to Town Center between Sweet, Whiskey River, and Blackfin. Watch the draft on large LED screens. Meet players. The Roar will be there. The D-line. Great prizes. Admission is free. It starts at 6:30. You find more information on Jaguars.com. We'll take this break and keep on rolling right here on Jaguars This Week on Jaguars Radio. This portion of our mock draft on Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Football Fanatics. So, Luck, Griffin, Claiborne to Minnesota, Richardson to Cleveland. The surprise from us here, Luke Kuechly from Tampa Bay. Here he is, a very active, always at the ball kind of player. Then at 6, St. Louis. In our mock draft here, we have them taking Justin Blackmon, which is what almost every mock draft has. I have to tell you, I see him sliding because I just don't think that Jeff Fisher is going to take a wide receiver in the top 10.
Yeah, the theory out there, you know, that's been floated this week a lot is that, you know, they're building there, and Fisher likes to build around defensive line, and that's what makes Fletcher Cox make sense there. I mean, that'll be a breath-holding moment for the Jaguars and for, you know, the fans, because if Fletcher Cox does go there, that opens the door for guy, you
for
know,
Blackmon
you know,
to come down to the Jaguars.
Yeah, for guy that people want.
But,
so.
but we talked through it, young quarterback again.
Right. And that was where we went. So explain your rationale, because, I mean, this you were strong on this one.
Well, to me, I just believe that when you've got a young quarterback who they spent a number one pick overall a couple years ago, and they had tried to give him some weapons, and then the one guy, I can't even remember his name, had that major knee injury, the receiver from Missouri.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, heck, he was going to be all world in the NFL. I mean, he had all the measurables and everything, and that was Gabbert's number two guy sophomore year. So they really, I mean, can you name a wide receiver for the Rams now? I mean, to go from the greatest show on turf to name me a wide receiver for the Rams.
They traded that pick for, the cat that just signed with New England from Denver. They traded the pick.
Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah. Right. So that tells you that they were desperate. Now,
let me ask you a question on this pick.
Okay.
It goes like this. Blackman's sitting there at six. If you're the Jags, you try to get up one spot to go get him?
No.
No.
I think they will. Would you?
I don't think so, but right. I'm saying is he
– Well, you're leading to the point I was going to make, and that is that the Rams this week have reportedly worked out every receiver from about 25 on down. So the kid from Baylor, the kid from Illinois, the kid from Appalachian State. I mean, this is a receiver-rich draft in the second round, mm-hmm. and so that might drive what they do at six. I mean, they don't have to get weapons for Sam Bradford at six. It's just that if you think Blackmon is a star player, performer, then you go get him.
The other factor there is, you know, with, you know, Jeff being just coming in there very solid, you know, they can sort of build –
They don't have
smartly.
To make a splash.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a splash situation. It's not a situation where, you know, he's going to get run out of town. And, again, he likes to build with that defensive line. I mean, that was the key to his good teams in Tennessee.
Well, and Les Snead is the general manager there now, and I know he's a guy that you know pretty well.
And he was part of that staff that traded the house for Julio Jones.
Yeah, so, you can't. He yeah, was in Atlanta last year, and, of course,
know.
Les was here for a time with Ron Hill back in the day, so. We'll see where that one goes. In our draft, we give St. Louis Justin Blackmon, which means the Jaguars are on the clock. And we went back and forth on this one now a couple of different times. And we ended up making the move. And we had Fletcher Cox there, and we just put Stephon Gilmore in.
Yeah, you went fourth when I was out of the room, evidently.
Yeah,
we made the switch. Sorry, John.
And I'll tell you why I think they do it.
Okay.
I think even with the Terrence Knighton injury, you got Tyson Alualu, you got C.J. Mosley, who played well. This team was very thin at corner last year. The injury of Rasheen Mathis, and I don't think you can have too many guys who can cover people in today's NFL.
No, you can never have too many cover guys. But you know, we were going back and forth on this because, you know, do they go Melvin Ingram? Do they go Fletcher Cox? You know, Merciless Whitney is a guy that, you know, I think that they'd love to trade down, maybe get him. And the reason I say
they'd love
that,
to get Whitney Merciless is who they'd like to get.
Sorry, I had it backwards.
Either one.
Yeah, at this point, take either one.
I was dyslexic there. But if you looked at the voluntary minicamp that they had and you looked at all the different positions, the position that really stood out that you went, oh, man, they need some bodies, they need some guys there, is defensive line.
Sure.
And I believe that if they don't get a wide receiver, they're going to – try to address that position certainly in the draft and early. Doesn't have to be the first round,
right?
But early.
So, in other words, the Jaguars are sitting at seven. It's that soft spot in the first round where, and we're going to do a little crazy draft here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we got to hurry.
Because, all right, and I'm going to finish this pretty quick. You have Ryan Tannehill now going to Miami at 8, and everyone's heard that. Obviously, Mike Sherman, his head coach at A&M, is now the offensive coordinator. We put Fletcher Cox, the big, young, strong guy from Mississippi State and Carolina. Buffalo needs a left tackle. Matt Khalil is still on the board, and he's the guy that slid in our mock here.
Right.
And that creates some interest. Kansas City, we gave Melvin Ingram. Seattle, Whitney Merciless. They are said to think very highly of him.
Or Merciless Whitney.
Yeah. Arizona, you're going to get payback for the orange
suit.
That's
all right.
Riley Reif, the big tackle from Iowa. Dallas, Mark Barron. And Philadelphia, David DeCastro. So in the 3 minutes before we have to break for news, and then we'll give you, you know, the more animated version of our draft, when you look at where the Jaguars are, they're sitting at 7 in our mock here. Tannehill still on the board. Anybody that wants him has to come up and get ahead of Miami in most mocks. And Matt Khalil, the left tackle, is still on the board. You would think in that scenario that the Jaguars might have an opportunity to get out of there.
Yeah, I think that they'll have an opportunity to trade down. And you know, the problem, I think, with a lot of people that want to trade up, they're going to be fearful of it because the cost might be high because of what the Redskins had to pay to get to number 2, which was ridiculous. I mean, that the price that they paid was way out of line.
Well, they're the Jets of the NFC now. I mean, they just do crazy things.
That kind of established, you know, I guess you could say a value, but I think if somebody's willing to not take that value, then you could trade down and still pick up, you know, some value for moving down a couple slots. And I hope the Jaguars are able to do that because there's some good players.
I could see a Kansas City trying to jump up there to grab a guy at Tannehill and get just move from 11 to 7, which you wouldn't have to give up a ton. You're going to give up something and get in front of Miami.
You would think, though, I was trying to figure this out, would you have to give up if you're Seattle wanting to move up with Jacksonville, would you have to give up a second that year?
Well, last year the Jaguars moved up from what?
Right, that's my point.
15 to 9?
From 16 to 10.
Okay.
And they gave up a 2. So you would think
that's what
you'd want. I don't know if you get that this year, though.
Don't know.
If you do, you take it.
Sure.
Oh, I mean, because, I mean, in a perfect scenario, if you can get somewhere in that 12 to 16, 17 moving down.
And add a top 40 pick in the second
absolutely
round. Absolutely. Top 45.
To me, you take that all day long.
Because there's going to be – that way you would get two even good players at the top of the second round or trade into the first round.
Even if Blackman's on the board, would you trade out?
If I can move, like what John was saying, to get two in the top 40 in your first round pick all day long.
I would. I don't think they would.
I wouldn't. I'd take Blackman.
I don't think they can pass on Blackman.
You know me, man.
Yeah, no, I know.
Give me all the picks in the world.
Especially a couple in the second round.
Yep.
So.
I agree with you in theory, but in fact, it would surprise me if they pass on Blackman if he's there.
All right, so there's our straight-up look at the first 15
picks. I think
picks.
You're crazy, Blocks.
That's what we've got for you. Yeah, watch out
stupid.
Now. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And their payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Look at Aetna.com. Aetna. No more, get better. When we come back, we'll give you a little alternative view of how things could go in the top 16. Not 15, 16. Stay tuned. We'll explain after news here on News Talk 690 and Jaguars Radio. All right, so welcome back to our mock draft here. It's our 15th annual on Jaguars this week. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman. Hey, Joe.
How are you?
All right, so we did 1 through 15 and straight up, no trades. We gave the Jaguars Stephon Gilmore from South Carolina the corner. So we decided in our less than infinite wisdom to do a little differently this year. And instead of going all the way to 32, we're going to go back and look at the 15. And really it's 3 through 16, so 13 spots. And change things up, throw some trades in there based on some of the rumors and speculation that's raging across the internet. So obviously Indianapolis and Washington are unchanged. Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III go. Then Minnesota jumps up, and we were talking about Minnesota earlier. This is a team with a lot of holes. They need a corner. They need a receiver. They need a left tackle. We gave them the corner, Claiborne, the first time out. We've mixed it up, Logs.
Wide receiver.
Yeah,
there. Blackman's gone again. You know, the young quarterback from Florida State needs a wide receiver, and Blackman could fill that role. And Leslie Frazier talked about this week about needing playmakers, and Blackman's a playmaker. He's great after the catch. He's great after the catch. So, So that kind of changes it up again, and then we get a little funny.
Yeah, but then the Jets have lately become a funny team, and they do crazy things.
Well, they like to win the offseason.
Did you see Eli Manning's comments earlier today?
Yeah, he's the third most talked about quarterback in New York.
And the only guy with two rings. The only guy with a
ring. And the best one.
Yeah, no, without a doubt.
Far and away.
So we have the Jets trading up with Cleveland, moving from 16 to 4 to grab Trent Richardson, who today was reported by Sal Palantonio to be the number one guy on their board.
Well, I think he's the number one guy on a lot of boards if you don't grade the quarterbacks over them because of the position they play. Most people would tell you Richardson is as good. You know, I think Richardson and DeCastro are probably the two guys that people think there's no way these guys will miss at their spots.
Okay. And we don't even know if the Jets have the ammo, you know, the fuel to go up and get them.
We're just playing.
We're having fun here and letting the Jets go up and because it kind of creates a little different scenario once we get past this.
Right. There's a report now that they won't do that or that it's unlikely. But at this point, you know, the day before the draft, what's a report?
Right. Exactly. Smokescreen.
A lie.
Not anything we're going to listen to.
So Tampa Bay is fifth. And look, in our real mock draft, Claiborne and Richardson were both off the board. And so, you know, they were kind of stuck because they are reported to like both Richardson and Claiborne. Here they get a shot at the corner and, boy, they really need some young talent in their defensive secondary.
Yeah, there's no way they pass on Claiborne if he's there. So
no, and they've got one that has got some off-the-field issues currently on the roster.
Tlaib, yes.
So they need
and
somebody.
They've got one that's 87 years old.
Yeah, he's had a great career, Rondé Barber.
Good player.
You know, so going to get a little younger back there and upgrade that defense, and he will do that.
All right, so then we have St. Louis, and now instead of going Blackman, because Blackman is off the board in this, they could use a left tackle too. They need a guy.
I actually think, even in our other pick, if Khalil is sitting at 6,
be hard for them to pass him
up. I think Jeff Fisher takes Matt Khalil no matter what.
Big guy. Knows the value.
And
they
have – their offensive line's atrocious.
Well, they missed on a number of – their both lines are not very good. Inside defensively and then offensive line-wise, they missed on a number of high picks.
In 09.
It's terrible.
Remember, everyone thought that was where Eugene Monroe was going to land, mm-hmm. and he slid down the board to 9 where the Jaguars grabbed him. And
yeah, yet another argument, well, in the whole Monroe debate. So that's, yeah.
So there you
we'll
go.
Move
so
on.
Khalil goes. Now, the Jaguars have the 7th pick, and we have them getting the trade back that they have so vigorously lobbied for. We've got Cleveland coming back up from the Jet spot at 16 to 7 because Cleveland, with Mike Holmgren and extra picks this year, we think wants Tannehill, the quarterback.
I just can't envision Cleveland, who has been very quiet on Tannehill, but I just can't see them not having interest in Tannehill for a couple reasons. Colt McCoy does not have a great arm. Tannehill is reported to have a very strong arm. And then McCoy had those issues last year with the concussions, but then you kind of had that rub between McCoy and Holmgren and McCoy's dad.
And they have the ammo to do it.
They do.
And how often do you really have the ammo to do it?
Yep.
So that's rare.
And
I hope
it doesn't cost too much.
I hope it does happen for the Jaguars' sake because it would allow them to get down and get a player that I don't know if they like or not, but is one heck of a football player.
It would really help the Jaguars' cause if – somehow Tannehill could be coveted in the top 7.
All right, so then we've got Miami grabbing Keckley, the linebacker, which is really about where it starts to make sense for him to start to fit. And Carolina grabbing Fletcher Cox like we had. Buffalo at 10, we give them Melvin Ingram, the undersized pass rusher, but they're going to a 3-4 in Buffalo, correct?
Well, they can
they converted last year.
Converted last year. That was why Poslesny was available. Right. They wanted
Riley Reiff
like
and Michael Floyd might go there too, but Ingram's fine.
There's a couple of different choices there. Kansas City grabs David DeCastro, the guard, the nasty guard from
very good player.
Stanford. And Seattle, we have grabbing Stephon Gilmore from South Carolina. Then we left Riley Reiff at Arizona and Mark Barron, the safety from Alabama, at Dallas. Philadelphia is there with Quentin Copels. And this is
– there's no – you think he goes that high?
Copels?
He's a
– I hear Philly likes him, but – let me ask you guys something.
Jim Washburn is the coach up there, so.
Mark Barron we haven't discussed, and everything you're hearing is that whatever a riser means, which is usually that people are talking to more people than they did last week, but Mark Barron going above 14, do you take a safety in the top 10?
No. Unless he's, you know, Ed Reed or
Troy Polamalu.
Troy Polamalu, I mean, one of those kind of game-changing safeties that has incredible ball skills, but –
mean, 3 weeks ago, the book on this guy was,
he's a box safety.
Hey, this is the best safety in a bad safety draft, and now he's Ed Reed. You know, so I did. This smells to me like one of those.
Is he
Reed?
Become
the hot guy.
Well, your old buddy Bill Polian made some comments on ESPN that said that, you know, he believes that he's a box safety, and you know, Polian, you know, may rub a lot of people the wrong way, but he's been a pretty good personnel guy for a lot of years in the National Football League, and if he has an assessment on safety, I mean, the guy drafted one heck of a safety that people really didn't know much about a few years ago. So
he's been a better offensive evaluator than he has defense, but his belief, and perhaps rightly so in today's NFL, is that if a safety can't cover,
forget it.
Then, you know, you can get that in the second and third round.
All right, real quick, a thought on Copels, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and tell you who we gave the Jaguars after trading back. Copels is a physical specimen, 6'6", 280, you know, said to be like Jason Pierre-Paul, a freak athlete.
Yeah,
you
know,
backflip.
Did you hear what Mike Mayock said about Copels?
Yes.
I wouldn't touch him
period.
In the first round, and then he modified it.
Well,
and it was even worse.
It was, he
wouldn't touch him in any round.
It wasn't draftable, which, you know, is – there are certainly people who – Copels, Jenkins from Florida, North Alabama. There are guys such as that that are off boards, without question.
I thought that was a little much for Mike Mayock to say about a guy.
Yeah, but
it's good television.
That avoided itself. And it did. We remembered it, right?
Yeah, we're talking about it.
Yeah, there you go.
And Mayock has really risen to the very top of draft analysts. I
mean, he's got his own show tonight on the NFL Network.
At 8 o'clock. Yeah.
I disagree with his mock draft that he – we were reading. I think ours is better.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and tell you who we have the Jaguars taking in our second version of this draft. And you're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Get your news from the back.
All right. About 11, 12 minutes left in our program. And we gave you a straight 15 and then sort of a jumbled up trade-ridden 15. And we're all the way down to 16 now because what we had was the Jets going up and trading with Cleveland to take the fourth spot, then going back to 16 before coming up to 7 with the Jaguars so they could grab Tannehill, the quarterback from A&M, in front of Miami. Now we've got the Jaguars sitting at 16. A receiver does not fit here, but there are a number of pass rushers that probably do at this point. Two stand out.
Well, Loggeman's guy.
Chandler Jones. The
Merciless
kid
from, Whitney.
And Chandler Jones, the kid.
The two of Merciless Whitney and Whitney Merciless.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. But Chandler Jones from Syracuse and Whitney Merciless.
You had to think about it for a minute,
didn't
you?
You bet I did. I wasn't going to have it. And so we went ahead and gave them the guy who had 16 sacks last year for the University of Illinois.
Isn't it it would be kind of ironic, you know, that you know, obviously the Jaguars' new owner, very strong Illinois connections. The first draft pick with the new owner would be an Illinois, you know,
guy.
Fighting Illini. So, I don't know.
You're
but I mean,
Kismet,
hey, look.
Is that what you're saying?
Hey, Whitney Merciless is a guy that is a relatively late bloomer, Haiti born, came out early. So, I mean, he's got a lot of upside. The guy.
Explosive.
Anybody who can get 16 sacks, and I don't care where they play at, in a junior year with, you know, limited exposure prior to that, that's a tremendous accomplishment. And, folks, if you want to check out some YouTube video of the guy, I mean, the guy has pass rush skills.
He gets off the ball.
He's got great get-off, like Tony said, but he's got pass rush technique, which is very rare to see in a guy that comes out of college. That I'm talking knocking the hands down and all those type of movement things. He's got some
now,
shape.
Do you worry that he only has 1 year? Because in his first 2 years at Illinois, he only had 4 sacks. And then last year, he erupted. Does that factor in at all that he's done it for 1 year? I mean, you're going middle of the first round, so it's not like you're going top 10.
Well, does it factor in? Sure. I think you've got to do a lot of homework as to ask the question, why was it only, you know, productive in 1 year? So you talk to the coaches, and obviously the cons probably have a lot of people to talk to there in Champaign. But he's a fantastic player.
And frankly, if he had done it twice, you probably have to stay at 7 to keep him.
He'd be a top 5 pick.
So that's that's where you get guys who fall. That's where you get some value. And that's where these guys earn their money.
This was the guy that, by the way,
you project that correctly.
You gave them in your very first version of the mock draft months ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it was after talking with Jeff a little bit and talking to some people. You know,
just because I like him.
Just sort of going through what made sense. That I believe that was coming out of the combine, and you started getting a feel that Copels wasn't going to be the guy, and that if it was going to be pass rusher, there were certain guys who weren't productive in college. Nick Perry back then, that
from SC.
You just sort of know they're probably not going to take a guy who doesn't have college production.
Now, it begs the question,
if Blackman's not there in our first version, would they take Whitney Merciless at 7? If he is that explosive, that good of a pass rusher in a major need, could they take him at 7?
I think the answer to that is pretty clear, because if you go back Tyson a couple Alualu. Years and look at Tyson Alualu, I think they wanted to move back to get him because they liked him and thought that they could get some value on top of getting him at the same time, and they could move back, and they took him anyway. So, yeah.
And in 02, there was a lot of talk in Indianapolis that you don't take a Dwight Freeney at number whatever he was, 11 or 12. And, Tony Dungy always told the story. He was talking to Bill Polian that morning and said, if you like him, take him. And that's sort of what I always go back to. If you really like a guy, don't
worry about where he's graded in everyone's mock draft.
When it comes down to it on that day, at some point you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, what guy do I believe in?
So you want to know one of the silliest things in this world is the fact that these mock drafts carry this much weight. That a bunch of sports writers and TV analysts and radio personalities start judging and putting together mock drafts that then fan bases judge you on who you take.
Let's go back to Merciless.
I mean, it's really crazy.
I thought you were going to say the orange tuxedo.
That too.
Let's go back real quick. And we gave him at 16. We had Merciless going as high as 12 to Seattle in our straight draft in the first half.
So my point is, if you think he's that good, take him.
Right, and that's where you, at some point as a GM or a coach, you've got to step away from the board and the mock drafts and everything and just really look at who do I believe in.
Now,
who do you want?
Right.
The other guy there. What if they trade back and Merciless were to go to Philadelphia or Seattle? And so they're sitting there. What about the Jones kid from Syracuse? The story is he was hurt last year, but his junior tape was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I've invested less time, sort of thinking and looking at him. But he's another guy. I don't think he goes at 7. But in the middle of the first round, he's a guy that a lot of people have.
Well, in other words, they'll have choices at 16. They'll have more choices that make
sense. Yeah, you'll have a lot of choices, but,
you also go to a receiver there.
Yeah, but Floyd, and Floyd is the next wide receiver to be talked about after Blackman. But, I don't know if this guy's on the board. I mean, this is a guy who's got 3 alcohol-related incidents in his past. And, hey, look.
Maybe he's thirsty.
If you got one, shame on you. Big deal. We can get over it because, I could have had 1 or 2. But he had 3. And 3 means that not only do you make bad decisions, you're stupid. Yeah, because you're dumb enough to get caught.
Well, let's talk about the receiver position, because we didn't give the Jaguars
very well said,
a receiver in either one of our picks here at 7 or 16. The receiving group is pretty deep. There's a bunch of guys there at the top of the second round, bottom of the first.
And the mock I did for Jaguars.com today.
Was that version 4?
It was version 3.
Oh, and what happened to 4? When's 4.0 coming?
Well, I was going to do 8 or 9 and figure I'd get one right. But there were a lot more receivers left after the first round than I anticipated. And, mine means nothing, but, neither does anybody else's. But I was struck by how many scenarios you looked at where there were 3 or 4 guys who were considered quality receivers.
In the second round.
Still available in the second round. So it would make some sense if they pass on receiver early that you could get it late.
The only receiver they're taking at 7 is if Blackman's there. If he's not there, then they're going defense.
If he's there, right?
They're taking him.
If he's there.
I can't imagine.
And there's a likelihood that he's going to be there because you're starting to see some names creep up the board. There's a chance he's going to be sitting there.
Sure.
A pretty good chance.
I don't think he's going to be there.
You don't think so?
No.
You think he's going to go to St. Louis?
I don't think so. He's not going to St. Louis.
I think he is going to be there. I think the Jaguars are going to have a shot at him.
I could see him going to Tampa.
Yeah.
I don't see him going to St. Louis. I think St. Louis goes over D-line.
Jeff Fisher took his time off and reevaluated how he did things and finally came to the realization, how many Super Bowls did I win in Tennessee getting all them big guys and learning how to be a tough, grinded-out team? None. Better start getting with the program and learn how to throw the football with my young quarterback. Give him a weapon.
I just don't see it.
Well, and that's why we're going to watch tomorrow night. I probably should mention that our coverage begins at 7:30, Joe. 7:30. And we'll keep going until the Jaguars pick. And when they do pick, you will hear from the head coach, Mike Mularkey. You'll hear from Gene Smith. We'll get the player on the air and probably the position coach as well. So that's the kind of stuff you won't get anywhere else in Jacksonville except right here on Jaguars Radio. And of course,
I'll be live on location at the draft party,
which is over at the markets at St. John's Town.
The suite and Whiskey River area right there. Blackfin, all that, yeah.
Starts at 6:30. PRI Productions is putting on a good show. Players, the Roar.
Should I wear the orange tuxedo?
Yeah, you'll be a big hit.
Especially if they were to draft the kid from Illinois now. I mean, that would really be timely, wouldn't it?
Perfect colors for it.
I might bring it.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting draft to watch. You know,
just make sure that you bring it and you hang it in the back of the Mercedes.
And I just hope that, you know, the league had talked to ESPN and has talked to the NFL Network to not give the pick before it's announced. And I hope that happens. You know, because
NFL pretty much gets what they want.
You want to have a little drama. You know, and hey, look, I like drama on television. I mean, I'm not a big drama series guy. Easy, Tony.
Wow. But we learned a lot. We learned that Jeff likes drama, that he should have two or three alcohol incidences. Anything else you want to share?
I could have. But I was smart enough not to put myself
Merciless Whitney
in a bad position.
It's quite a night for old logs there.
He would not wear the orange tuxedo, but he did go to Virginia.
He did.
Where they wear orange.
It's a little different color orange than the one he was wearing. That was Clown University colors.
I haven't seen that one at all. So we'll have it for you.
But I do. I hope that it does have the suspense that it could have if they don't. You know, hey, look, if people want to follow all the reporters and their tweets and get it, fine.
But TV, make it a good event.
But on TV, I don't follow all those guys, Schefter, and you know, for television, when we're sitting here in the studio and we got all these TVs on, I want to be a part of that suspense and feel it.
We just better hope no one's doing smoke signals about who's coming out, because you will pick up on those.
I will get them.
You'll get those.
Or Morse code.
Morse code.
Mirrors.
Well, I mocked Blackman today.
I got that.
Who would you mock if you were mocking Blackman?
I just have a sense that he's going to be their guy. He's going to be there, and they're going to take him.
I'm mocking trade.
Right. I'm sticking with Whitney Merciless.
Even at 7.
Well, I'm not saying at 7. No, I'm just saying somewhere.
The question is, what happens at 7? I say they trade.
7, 10, 12, 15.
Answer the question.
My guy
is Whitney Merciless. What happens at 7? Do they trade?
Whitney Merciless.
Okay, so you're saying at 7 they trade.
Somehow they're going to have him.
I think they trade.
All right. Well, we'll find out tomorrow night. Jaguars with the 7th pick right now. Obviously, the drama, I mean, it's going right now. I mean, ESPN is live inside Radio City Music Hall. I mean, they're 24 hours away, and boy, they're pounding it away.
How many people are going, man, Lagerman said they're going to draft Whitney Merciless? I just looked real quick.
I saw that. Yeah. That's all right.
And they're going to be saying, oh, he knows something. Guess what? You know, there is nobody
that knows.
Nobody.
Yes.
That Gene knows Smith. Except for Gene Smith and Mr. Kahn. That's how good of a poker face that they have.
And it's the way it should be.
I might sneak in and see if I can get a peek.
Yeah, good luck. You take a locksmith with you. That'll do it, folks. Tomorrow night, 7:30, right here on News Talk, WOKV. Have a great night.